Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Day 6 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2016. We have an example in the Bible of what happens to people when they have everything. Now, all during the millennium, people are going to have the best that there has ever been for all humanity for a thousand years. Many will be brought into the kingdom of God during that time. But there will be those who will not go God's way. And as we read in Isaiah 65, the sinner shall die accursed. How could it be when you have everything so good, everything you ever need, everything you ever want, that you could possibly go wrong? That you could possibly, having known God and knowing God, leave Him? How does that happen? And it gets down to the same thing, like we have mentioned before. It's not how you begin, it's how you finish. Now let's look at the example of Solomon, the son of David, who is made king over Israel after David died. Yes, he had to put down a revolt by his brother Adonijah and get everything all lined up. And he was blessed to build the temple. God gave the plans to David to give to Solomon, and he gave him many charges on how he should keep the commandments of God and seek God and do what is right and so forth. So let's come to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, after all the good things that God did for Solomon and providing the things so that Solomon could build the temple, okay? So he finished his own house, and then we pick it up here, 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Now mark that. Underline that. Do you love God? Do you know people that did love God but are no longer with Him? How did that happen? How could that be? Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was the great high place. That's where the tabernacle was. And remember, during the reign of Saul, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant for a while, and then it was returned, and David got it, and he had it put in his house, and he had a special place in his house for the Ark of the Covenant. But the tabernacle was up at Gibeon, and there they offered the sacrifices. So you had a split priesthood. You had most of the Levites up there offering the sacrifices at Gibeon, and then down in David's house, you had Asaph the priest and the different priests that were there, and they administered to the Ark of the Covenant. All right? So here we have the picture. Solomon went up there and offered a 1,000 burnt offerings upon the altar. Now notice verse 5. Notice how Solomon started out. He was loved of his father, loved of his mother, heir to the throne, received all the plans for building the temple. His heart was young and tender when he began. Now verse 5. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Now, I want you to notice Solomon's attitude. Verse 6. And Solomon said, "You've shown your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you." Now, note that. That's important. And David was called what? A man after God's own heart. Why? Because This is how he walked before God. Now, Solomon continues answering God, and you have kept this great kindness to him, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Now, notice how he expressed that. You have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Notice he didn't say, and I was chosen to sit on the throne. Notice the humility. Let's go on. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, giving God all the credit. And I'm a little child and do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a numerous people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Now therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. Notice what he asked for, the right thing in the right attitude and directly to God. Now that's something, isn't it? To discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this, your great people. Now notice God's response. Notice how God responds to us. And his response is in accord with our response to him. So notice this. Verse 10. And the word was good in the eyes of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself, not interested in self. We're going to see that that is the key and the answer to how did Solomon go wrong, and how can people during the millennium go wrong and end up rejecting God. Okay? Let's go on. And have not asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to judge righteously. Behold, I have done according to your words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, and afterward, after you, none shall arise like you. And also, I have given you that which you have not asked for. Think of this. Does God want to bless us with more than we ask? And how should we ask? And what is the purpose of asking? And why should we do it? See, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you both riches and honor so that there shall not be any among the kings like you all your days. Therefore, if, there it is, choice, IFMA, remember what IFMA is? Independent free moral agency. And the if is conditional always upon us, not upon God. Therefore, if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Okay? So he's given him everything that everyone would want in life. Yes, indeed. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all of his servants. Okay? Then his first judgment, we won't go through that, but he was able to handle that quite well. Now we find in chapter 6 that Solomon finished the house of God, and then he dedicated it, and it was quite a thing. Okay? Now, let's come over here to chapter 8. Okay? Now, yes, chapter 8. Here then, he brings the things from Gibeon down to the temple, has the ark put into the temple by the priest and the Levites, and have them bring and set up the altars and everything. Everything was done for the house of the Lord. Last verse in chapter 7. All right. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel to Solomon in Jerusalem, so that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant out of the city of David, which is in Zion. So they brought it and had a great ceremony. And actually, this apparently started on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, and the dedication of the feast lasted 7 days. Then there was a pause for a day of atonement, and after that, they had the Feast of Tabernacles, and after that, then all the people went home. Well, God was pleased with the whole affair. God was pleased with the prayer of Solomon. And you can read that, all of chapter 8, all the way through. So read all of chapter 7, chapter 8, and come up here to chapter 9. Let's see, this was the real pinnacle of Solomon with his relationship with God. And how did it go so wrong? You would think that if you were that close to God, God appeared to you, told you what he was going to give you. All accomplished, the temple is finished, everything is set in order, great feast to dedicate it, great feast to tabernacles. Everyone is happy, joyful, God is with you, the angels are protecting you, everything is righteousness and goodness and joy and happiness. Now let's come to chapter 9. Let's see that even God was really pleased. Can we please God? Can we do those things that please him? Yes. 1 John, the third chapter. That's how our prayers are heard, when we do the things that please him and keep his commandments. Now, this is exactly what Solomon had done here. Now, chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, as Solomon finished the building of the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all Solomon's desire, which he had pleased to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, now notice these words. He heard the prayer, wonderful prayer. Now notice what God said. I've heard your prayer and your cry, which you have made before me. I have made holy this house, which you have built, to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That's something. What greater blessing from God could you possibly receive? Now think about us, brethren. God has called us. He's given us understanding of his word, knowledge of his truth, given us his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ, the two aspects of the Holy Spirit, we will make our abode with. Think of that. Now let's go on with that in mind. Verse 4, and if, there that word is again, if. Now why does God do that? Because we are to choose. Everything that we do is a choice. To love God, to serve him, to keep his commandments. What we think, where we go, what we eat, all of this. These are all choices. Now, the most important choices are those choices between us and God. And this is important for us to realize so that we can know and understand how it is that we stay consistent and, as we will see, not make the mistakes of Solomon. Now, verse 4, and if you will walk before me as David your father walked, how is your walk with God? So as we go through, I want you to ask yourself these questions. In integrity of heart and in uprightness to do all that I have commanded you, and if you will keep my statutes and my judgments, then, if and then, It's exactly the same thing for the New Testament. Exactly the same thing for those during the millennium. If, and you've got 100 years to live, how are you going to live that? What's it going to be? He says, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man upon the throne of Israel. If, now he gives him another choice, just like with us, just like with the people during the millennium. If you shall turn it all from following me, you might want to underline that. How are we to have a relationship with God? To love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our being. Is that not correct? How long should we do that? Our entire life long, correct? Yes. Now, for Pentecost, we covered what it was with the seven churches. Did they have to be corrected because they didn't do what God wanted? Yes, they did. All right. Now, notice verse 6. Here is another if. If you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I set for you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Think about that. That is true today. Like today, everyone wants to know, what's happening in the world? Well, the world has turned its back on God, and that is the great apostasy of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Not just something within the church, but the whole world against God. That's why Christ is coming back the way he's coming back, with all power and signs and wonders and the earth shaking and the heavens shaking and the armies fighting against him. See? Now notice, here's another then. If, then I will cut off Israel from the face of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have made holy for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Did God do that? Yes, he did. Twice. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. Did that happen? Yes, it did. How was it then that Solomon got to where he ended up? That is the question. And that is the lesson. And that's going to be something which will have to be answered by the people all during the millennium. How is your relationship with God? What is it? What do you do? How do you maintain it? But first, we're going to see what was it that Solomon did that he turned from God. Now let's begin by coming to Deuteronomy 17 and let's see what God said that the king was to do all his life long. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. Here's some very tremendous instructions for the king. Now also, we can take this as a parallel for us, because are we not going to be kings and priests and rule in the kingdom of God? Yes. What should we do? Because, see, we have been called to prepare for that task right now. All right? Let's read it. Verse 14, when you come to the land which the Lord your God gives you, and shall possess it, and shall live in it, and shall say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God shall choose. You shall set a king over you from among your brethren. You may not set a stranger over you who is not your brother. Only he shall not multiply horses to himself, which Solomon did, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. And the first thing he did was marry the daughter of the king of Egypt. so that he multiply horses, because the Lord said to you, you shall not return that way again. And he multiplied horses. Nor shall he multiply wives to himself, which we will see he did, so that it is his heart does not turn away from God. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold to himself. God gave him all he needed. Here was the smartest man in the world, the richest man in the world, the greatest king that could possibly be. God gave warning, didn't he? Verse 18, and it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from which is in the custody of the priest and the Levites. He was to go to the temple, he was to have a scroll, and he was to copy from the scroll the copy that the priest and the Levites had. The original was in the Ark of the Covenant. And he was to copy it. Why copy it? Because the way you learn is to write it out. Okay? And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now, question, a little sidebar. What do you hear preached all of the time? Prayer and study, correct? Yes, indeed. This is what the king was to do. All the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, so that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he does not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Okay? Now then, let's look at something also very important. When you do that, and of course, did he not have all the Psalms of David? Yes, he did. Did he not also collect thousands of Proverbs? Yes, he did. Did he not also compose many songs? Yes, he did. Let's come to Psalm 35, okay? 39, rather. Psalm 39. Here are some of the lessons that he should have learned from his father, who wrote these Psalms, okay? Psalm 35, verse 1. Now, what did God tell Solomon to do? We read it. If you do all these things rightly, then I will bless you. If you do not do what I say, then I will even destroy this house and get rid of it. All right. Verse 1, Psalm 39. Here's David writing. Verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways so that I do not sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked are before me. I became dumb, keeping silent. I said nothing good. Yet my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned, and I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days, what it is to understand the frailties of human nature, that I may know how short-lived I am. That's something. Behold, you have made my days as a hand's breadth. Now we're going to see the mistakes of Solomon here in just a little bit. He was humble to start, but he was not humble at the end. Let's continue. And the span of my days is as nothing before you. Surely every man at his best state is all together vanity. Now, it's very interesting. Let's come to the book of Ecclesiastes, okay? Book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll start in chapter 1. We're going to see some very interesting things here. Solomon learned the lesson of vanity to a great degree, but he didn't apply it to himself the way he should have. Now, as the most intelligent man the world has ever known, you would think that he would have done that. God appeared to him twice, blessed him, told him what he would do. Everything was laid out clear as could be. Now, he did understand about the vanities. He pointed them out. This is vain, that is vain, the other thing is vain. But, as we will see, he did not do it to himself. Verse 1, Ecclesiastes 1. The word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit does a man have in all the labor which he labors under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Then he says, the sun rises, it goes down, comes back again. The wind comes from the south, goes to the north, makes a circuit, comes back. The rivers run into the sea, but it's never full, come back to where it was. Then he says this, verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which shall be, and that which has been done is that which shall be done. There is nothing new under the sun. So he was really philosophical in everything that he was thinking about here, see? Now this is something. Is there a thing of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been done in days of old, which were before us. There is no memory of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who shall come afterwards. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. Now I want you to start measuring and counting. I, me, myself. And we will see the way that Solomon started drifting away from God was looking to himself. Yes, still giving God some credit. Yes, still acknowledging that, you know, we need to keep the commandments of God. That's what he said at the end. But we can see from what he wrote here how he began to drift away from God by concentrating on himself. Have you heard of that before? Yes, indeed. Now we will see that Solomon became philosophical and self-centered rather than God-centered and humble. And it's all right here in the book of Ecclesiastes. All right? Now then, I've counted all the me's and my's and I's. There are 41 I's in the first two chapters. There are 16 my's, 2 me's, and there are 8 myself. Do you think that that is self-centered? Now listen. Too many people take the blessings of God for granted. Has that happened in this nation? Has it happened to other people? How do their lives get cut off when they turn their back on God, or if they don't know God, turn their back on doing what is right and end up destroying their lives with various things? And especially I'm thinking of the entertainment industry and all of these great musicians that die of drug overdoses and vanity and self, and people just worship them as idols. All right? So let's see what Solomon did. All recorded for us. Instead of writing the law of God so he could study that and live by that, he wrote about himself. So verse 13, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. It is a grievous task God has given to the sons of men to be exercised by it. So he's looking out and seeing all these things. Now notice what he says, verse 14. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. Well, really, not quite. And behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. He had that point correct. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I spoke within my heart, saying, instead of praying to God about it, God, give me wisdom and understanding. Lo, I have become great. I have gathered more wisdom than all that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart has experienced great wisdom and knowledge. Me, myself, and I. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also striving after wind. In much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Quite a thing. Let's see what he did. Instead of loving and serving God the way he should have, he became exactly like the men that David wrote of concerning what happens to important people. Okay? Hold your place here and let's come to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Very interesting. All he had to do was read the Psalms of his father David. Whoa, there are some really good Psalms. Okay, Psalm 62. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Psalm 62 and verse 7. God is my salvation and my glory. And did not God give that to all the glory to Solomon? Yes, but now think about it with us. God is going to glorify us, is he not? Yes, indeed. And he is going to give us the rule, is he not, of his kingdom? Yes. Think of what a great thing that is. We need not get caught up in the foolishness that Solomon got caught up in, okay? The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. That's what Solomon forgot to do. He began to trust in himself and in his wisdom and in his philosophy while giving some acknowledgement to God. Trust in him at all times, not part of the time, not some of the time, but all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge to us, Selah. Now notice what David wrote, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. That's what Solomon turned out to be, a lie. Because God appeared to him twice, and he went against everything that God had told him to do. When weighed in the balance, they're altogether lighter than vanity. Verse 10, trust not in oppression. Do not take pride in stolen goods. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. Now just think what it would have been like if Solomon would have lived by that. Okay? Now come back here to the book of Ecclesiastes and let's see how Solomon experimented, how he thought, how he acted, what he did. Now, the second chapter is very profound. Because this tells you how, if you analyze it, Solomon got away from God. He got his mind on himself and what he was doing. He used his own wisdom and his own intelligence rather than keep coming to God, rather than remembering and learning that in God we live and move and have our being. and that as human beings, we have nothing that we didn't receive, and all of it comes from God. So we will see the seeds of his own destruction were sown, beginning here in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, because he turned his heart and mind from God to himself. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and see how it was that Solomon did this.